Hi, this is Heaton Shaw.
And this is Sally Efty. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about culture.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Company culture, startup culture, what is it? How do you intentionally design it? How can you be more aware of what it is? And lots of other goodies. The reason why we want to talk about this is that, Heaton, you just recently secretly announced to kind of more of an inner circle that you're going to start a culture newsletter, right? You have a really popular, super famous, and very, very valuable SaaS newsletter where once a week you send out the most valuable links around SaaS topics to people, and I'm a subscriber, and I love that newsletter. And now you're going to do the same thing all around the topic of culture. And I thought that was both awesome and fascinating, and probably more than good enough of a reason for us to talk about this. But before we jump into the episode, for people that are instantly like, yes, culture, I want to learn more about it, I want to become better at it, I want Heaton's curated links around this topic, just for our listeners, where can they subscribe to this?
Yeah, if you go to bit.ly/culturegood, CulturegoOod, you'll be able to get early access. It's just a type form, and we do ask some questions about your culture. It's pretty short, but that's the early access link. What I actually did is I shared it by telling a quick kind of story about why I care about culture in my newsletter. That newsletter is up to about, it's over 10,000 emails. It's quite a bit over. And so I sent it to that. And then I actually, you know, I'm sure our listeners will find this curious. I hadn't played with Facebook's notes functionality, but it's like their blogging or writing platform on Facebook. So it was a great opportunity to just copy and paste it, because it wasn't, I didn't think my message was blog post worthy, but I thought it was, you know, personable, right? Because I wrote a lot about like why I cared about culture, which is basically I'm obsessed with it. And company culture specifically. And so I just put it on there. And it turns out that Facebook does like those notes. And the cool thing is when you go see my post, it's like a really slick, like built into Facebook, like blog. And it looks, and it's like really quick and efficient to like read it. And so anyways, I experimented with that. So I did it in my newsletter, which goes out on Monday morning. And then I did it on Facebook. And you know, there's hundreds of people on the list now. Yeah, I'm looking forward to launching this. This is also just, again, the listeners love stuff like this, but if there was only 10 people, I probably wouldn't be doing this at all, right? But it turns out that this is a topic a lot of people care about. I've done some research with my business partner and a few other people that I'm working with on this, and we knew it was a big topic. We just didn't know if one central place about company culture would make sense. And it turns out there isn't a place we've been able to find, but yet companies are putting out content talking about their culture, and I'm joking about this, but the ping pong tables in the office and, you know, the sugarless soda and all that good stuff. But there isn't really a centralized place that talks about this. And then you can even look at sites like TechCrunch and Mashable and a bunch of these sites. There's a lot of negative stuff about company culture as well. Like, I think a lot of stuff came out about Zenefits and how their culture might have led to the problems that they had. And you know, when there's always a negative thing, people come out of the woodwork and start talking a lot more about, like, for example, the parties and the beer cans in the stairways and all that kind of stuff. So it's a big topic. Company culture is really important in every business that I've ever been privy to. Even a 2 or 3 person team, there ends up being some kind of culture, even if nobody's really thinking about it. So yeah, I'm super excited about the topic and kind of pumped that like so many people are interested in sort of what we're doing with it.
Yeah, I love it. And I was just checking out the note, and it's good that you're bringing this up. Last time I published a Facebook note is many years ago, and it looks totally different today. So this is interesting. But the topic of culture is such a powerful one for so many different reasons. So, and I'll just give a quick example of something that happened recently, and then let's try to demystify and debullshit and figure out what is it and how do you practically use and work and create it. But we use a tool called Know Your Company internally, since we're a remote team. And basically what it does is kind of twice twice a week, it sends an email to everybody and they can just reply with that email, and it takes all the answers and kind of beautifully curates it and shares it with the team. But it also, from a founder's perspective, gives us some analytics and some like ideas of what's going on in the company, how people feel about things. Mondays is always the same questions, like, what was your high and low point of last week? And what is the thing you really are excited about getting done this week, right? But then on Thursdays, it's different questions, and the team can suggest questions. People can come up with questions. One question that was asked last week was, you know, when you're around friends and family and people that don't work at Close.io and you talk about the company, what's the one thing you always brag about? What's the one thing that you talk about with the most pride and most excitement? And it was really interesting to see how every single person in the company, this was not coordinated, right? But every single person in the company answered that question with a version of the people and the culture of the business.
That's awesome.
Which was pretty awesome to see.
And did you say you're using Know Your Company for this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. So you guys are customers.
Yes, we're customers of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. We were using that product for a while too at Kissmetrics when I was over there, and I really liked it. It felt really good. One thing I hit on, which I just want to talk about this for a quick second, but we had this problem with company surveys as well, and I can tell you how we solved it, because basically Know Your Company is essentially company surveying, right? It's asked your company questions about 3 times a week, I believe, and there are different questions except the Monday one. And what we noticed is that after some time, there was a lot of drop off in the survey responses. So if in the beginning you had like 80-90% of the company, we ended up having like 40-50%. But the company started growing too. And then we made some changes to fix that. So I'm just curious what your experience has been.
So our participation rates, I would say, have been pretty steady. There are some people in the team that kind of answer all questions at all times, and there's some people that very rarely do.
Yeah.
So for us, from day one, we didn't, the default setup is 3 emails a week, and we from day one knew that we thought that would be too much, so we only wanted to have 2.
Yeah.
We also experimented with like what those questions are, especially the one that's repetitive, the Monday question, to make it like both simple to answer but useful.
Valuable.
And at first it was like, what's the one thing you're going to do to make our customers more successful? And what's the one thing you can do to get us more successful customers? And what did you work on this week? And so we had some various successes in response to that. The one that we have now with the share a high and low of last week and asking that question Monday morning, that is seem to be really useful, easy for people to answer, but it still kind of gives you an idea of where people are. And it gives people a lot of things to converse about. So when I chat with people, they know that I still can't, go to kickboxing class because of my knee, and they'll bring it up, even people that I don't interact with a lot, because they see this in the survey. The way we're trying to get engagement high is by experimenting with a question, by not making this too much, and by we have somebody on the team that will ping people occasionally that never respond or respond really rarely, and ask them why, and ask them if they would next week. So we're trying to, we're hustling people a little bit. That's kind of what the current status is.
So what we figured out, because we were doing surveying like this, we were doing about biweekly and monthly, in the newsletter and stuff, we're going to be sharing a lot of stuff like that too. But I'll preempt it right now and tell you what we did, and we really fixed it. And I think a low participation rate is a problem, the way I think about it. And anything less than 100, I'm like, what's up? Like, let's figure this out. So I love that you guys are hustling it in, you know, Close.io style. But the thing I would say is these things aren't just surveys so people can fill crap out, right? What they are is they're meant to actually help everyone understand what's going on in the company and actually improve the culture. So what we started doing is, in a lot of our non-surveying or non-like culture-specific communications, we started bringing up the things that we heard in the culture, sort of in any of the culture surveys. So it was like reinforcement. So in our all hands, we would bring up things that we saw in the surveys, and we would talk to the team members about the things that they said in the survey. So then people started getting a sense that if they filled this out, then there's actually exposure. There's things that happen that actually impact the company. So simple things are like, we started making sure there was always a weekly question or a monthly question that was designed around what are the problems? How can we make our jobs better? How can we make our lives better? How can we make our customers' lives better? And when we found great nuggets in there, we'd actually highlight those and talk about what we as a team, oftentimes it's, you know, for lack of a better word, leadership team or founders or executives or whatever that are sort of in charge of making changes or at least incepting a lot of changes in the company. That's just the way companies work, fortunately or unfortunately, unless you're a flat company, which is really rare and usually doesn't work as you scale. So what happens is we just started reinforcing things and we started making sure that people knew that when they brought something up, it actually got addressed and it was in a positive way and in a way where it was reinforced. Because I think we forget that we're not just asking people questions. We're actually trying to impact and improve and evolve the culture.
Yeah, so I think we're knee deep in the culture discussion already. And I love that approach of making sure that the answers to these questions are embedded and highlighted in more conversations and have more obvious impact and influence in order to stimulate more participation in them. So I love that. I think that's really powerful. So let's hit the pause button for a second and try to distill in a very simple way what is company culture. Because what it isn't, and we already agree on this, is the surface level bullshit like ping pong tables and free Red Bulls and I don't know what the fuck, like all these perks, right? There's a lot of benefits and perks that seem cool, especially in the startup world, especially in Silicon Valley. And not to say that you don't want to have, like, ping pong tables are not allowed or an evil thing. They're irrelevant, right? They can be fun. It's all cool. But putting a ping pong table somewhere and having free drinks and snacks, that is not creating a culture. And that's, as a founder, not the end of the culture question that you have to deal with. Well, what kind of snacks are we going to offer? It's going to be these and these brands. Cool. Well, culture's checked off. What else do we need to work on, right? So we know that it's not that stuff. And a lot of times, I think people confuse that surface level perks for culture and equate it for it. But what is company? What is the company culture? How do we define that?
So we both spoke at Culture Summit last year.
Yep.
And I was really grappling with this. I think you gave me some advice on my talk, so I had more fucks and shits on it. But thanks for the advice. I think I did well.
Always welcome.
You'll get a video of my embarrassing talk that Steli incepted in me if you sign up for the early access.
By the way, this was the best talk you've ever given in your life. Not saying
that's anything. That's why I'm sharing it. That's literally a special thing you get if you sign up. So yes, I know. I just had to watch myself again on it, and I'm like, I could do so much better. Anyways, thank you for everything you did there because it was really helpful. I think it was one of my best talks up till that day. I have a slide in there that says, what is culture? And I struggled with it because I couldn't figure it out and nobody could give me an answer because it was just all either fluffy or like stale. And it was culture about like religion and stuff like that. So I came to the conclusion after much discussion with a few people that I've worked with and who are obsessed with culture too. And the definition I got was great culture is the elimination of all friction. And then I looked up friction. So let me continue for a second. And it says, what is friction? So what is friction, right? If culture is elimination of all friction, we need to know what friction is. So friction is dissension or conflict between persons because of differing ideas, wishes, etc. So what you're trying to do essentially, what culture is the way that, what I would say is that, especially from a company standpoint, it's the way that you make sure people get along and don't have friction, because friction stops work. Friction prevents the work from happening, which is really, in a business, it's about servicing customers. So anything that's happening internally that's a conflict that is, causing enough friction that work's not getting done, that definitely is sort of how you can think about what culture really is. It's all those things you do to eliminate friction.
I love it. To me, this makes a lot of sense answering the question, what is the impact of good culture or what is the result of cultural problems or frictions within the company, right?
Right.
We talked about this a little bit of like a lot of times there's problems that arise at the surface, teams not communicating well, deadlines not being kept, work not being done, people being unhappy at work. And when you try to solve these problems on the surface level, you might be like just, you know, pedaling upstream in a battle that you can't win, versus stopping, stepping back, and realizing that if you go really deep, a lot of times there's cultural issues. You've brought